Appreciate that special. I'd like to this morning to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I'd like to read the first 13 verses. Isaiah 43. Verses 1 through 13. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Jacob referring to the old man. He that formed thee, O Israel, referring to the new man. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since I was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am the Lord, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there are none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it or restrain it? We see that these are the words of the Lord. We see that from the very opening statement in verse 1. It is declared again in verse 14 and declared again in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. We see twice, once in verse 1, once in verse 5, we find those words, fear not. The Lord says, fear not, which is the negative way of saying be courageous. Conveys the idea of strength, conveys the idea of steadfastness. So twice the Lord tells his people, and what the Lord is telling Israel here is, of course, applicable to you and I. Twice he tells them, fear not. Fear, of course, is very real. It is something that we are all prone to. It is something that we are all beset by at times, and fear can be debilitating. It can cloud our minds where we do not think right. It can blind our eyes where we do not see right, and basically just cause us to fail spiritually. So the Lord says, fear not. But notice in verse 1 and also verse 5, he says, fear not, for. Or, for this reason, fear not because. Fear not since. Fear not on account of. And the next word that follows the word for in both verse 1 and verse 5 is the word I, which of course is referring to God. Fear not, for I. And you'll find this pattern throughout the Old Testament when you read those words, fear not. Fear not, for I. That is, fear not because of who God is, because of what God has done, because of what God has promised to do. So we see this courage that we are exhorted to possess is none of ourselves. It does not come from our circumstances, but it is found in Him. Fear not, for I. Courage is found in who God is. Courage is found in what God has done. Courage is found in what God has promised to do. So the remedy for fear is God. The reason for courage is the Lord. Courage comes from getting a hold of and grasping who God is, what God has done, what God has promised to do. Now, it is important that we understand these two exhortations. Fear not. Everything in our text, everything that we read in verses 1 through verse 13, is relevant to that exhortation. Fear not. It all goes back to, it all centers around, fear not. We want to speak this morning on courage in difficult places. We see in verse 2 that some difficult places are mentioned, and we'll look at those. We see as we read through verses 1 through 13, and really through the entire chapter, we see some truths, some facts that are stated. We want to look at those truths. We want to look at those facts that are stated. And then we want to go back, and we want to look at those difficult places in light of the facts and the truths that are stated. But first of all, notice there are difficult places. He mentions those in verse 2. He mentions them under the metaphors of waters, rivers, fire, and flame. These all have reference to difficult places. Now, there are some things about these difficult places that we need to notice. First of all, they're inevitable. They're inevitable. That is stated from the very first word of verse 2, when. When. That is, at what time? At what time the waters come, at what time the rivers come, at what time the fire and the flame comes. In other words, they are inevitable. It's not if you are faced with waters. It's not if you are faced with rivers. It's not if you are faced with fire. It's not if you are faced with flame. It's when. So there are difficult places. And these difficult places are inevitable. We see also that these difficult places are various. They're not all the same. Again, he describes them as waters, Water certainly are different than fire and flame. Waters and rivers are different than fire and flame. Difficult places are a variety. But not only that, not all the waters are the same. Not all the rivers are the same. Not all the fire is the same. Not all the flame is the same. A lot can depend on when they come. A lot can depend on when the waters come, when the rivers come, when the fire comes, when the flame comes. So these difficult places are inevitable. You're going to experience them. And they are a variety. They have a variety to them. And in spite of their variety, you're not the first to experience a certain trial, and you won't be the last. They are a variety. But I believe also we can realize from experience, and also from verse 2, it seems to be implied that these difficult places are repeated. They're repeated. Sometimes we'll go through the same waters more than once. Sometimes we'll go through the same rivers more than once. Sometimes we'll go through the same fire more than once. Sometimes we'll go through the same flame more than once. Just because you've gone through it once doesn't mean you won't ever experience it again. They can all be repeated. They can be repeated several times in our lifetime. I believe another thing that we see from these difficult places, not only are they inevitable, not only is there a variety about them, and not only can they be repeated, but at times they can be severe. In other words, they do not all have the same degree of severity. Again, a lot can depend on when they come. And when I say when they come, I mean where we are spiritually ourselves. A lot of that determines the severity of the difficult places. But notice, in verse 2, he uses the word overflow, talking about the waters and the rivers. That speaks of a threat. That speaks of a danger of being drowned. This is a severe trial. This is a difficult place, a severely difficult place. It is possible to be overflowed, or at least it appears that way. He also uses the word burned, speaking of the fire. That's a danger. And he also speaks of the flame kindling upon thee. There can be a fire and you not be in any real danger of being burned. But if you're in a fire and you are in danger of being burned, now that fire is more severe. It has a greater degree of severity. If there is the chance that the flame kindle upon thee, well, now that trial, that difficult place, has become more difficult. So there are difficult places. They are inevitable. They are of great variety. They can be repeated over and over and over again. And they can be severe. And keeping that in mind, we want to notice some truths or some facts that are stated in our text. Notice first of all in verse 2 there are the personal pronouns thou and thee. That refers to you and I, that second person. And then we see I will be with thee. That I is first person, referring to the one who's speaking, who is God. So we have two people involved here. We have God and we have ourselves. And then we read several truths that relate to God, several truths that concern you and I, or describe you and I. First of all, notice some truths concerning God. We see in verse 1 that He is the Creator that created thee. That means power. Creator has power. A Creator has authority. A Creator has control. A Creator has wisdom. He is the Creator. He has the power. He has the authority. He's in control. He knows all about it. He is the Creator. We see also, not only is He the Creator, but He's the potter. He says, I formed thee. Takes on the idea of a potter. Again, which speaks of power, speaks of authority, speaks of control and wisdom. He is the Creator. He is the potter. He's also the Redeemer. It says, for I have redeemed thee. He is God, He is Creator, He is Potter, He is Redeemer. He is also the Shepherd. In verse 1 it says, I have called thee by name. Now when the Shepherd is described in John chapter 10, the Shepherd knows His own sheep by name and calls them by name. When God says, I have called thee by name, that means He's the Shepherd. He's the Creator. He's the former, or He is the potter. He is the Redeemer. He is the Shepherd. But it also says in verse 1, thou art mine. That makes Him the owner. He's the owner. These are facts concerning God. He is Creator. He is potter. He is Redeemer. He is the owner. He's all of these things. And then notice in verse 3, we see the opening word is for. He's given us reason why we shouldn't fear when we're in the difficult places referred to in verse 2. For I am. For I am. That means that He's immutable. Whatever God is, He's immutable. That is, He doesn't change. I am covers past, present, and future. In other words, right now, at this very moment, right now at this very moment, God is what He's always been. And God will continue to be what He has always been and what He is. He is the I am. He is immutable. Then He goes on and He declares three things about I am. He says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. That is, I am Jehovah. I am the eternal, self-existent one. I do not depend on anything. I do not depend on anybody. I am the Lord. This is true in the past. This is true right now. And this is forever true. I am the Lord. And then He goes on and He says, thy God. I am thy God. That is Elohim, the powerful and faithful one. But the important word there is that word thy. I am thy God. That means that whatever God is, He's relevant to me. He's my God. He's relevant to whatever situation I'm in, whatever condition I am in. God is relevant to whatever it is that concerns me. Now that is a big problem today. With many in their minds, they know about God, but the problem is God in their minds is not relevant to their situation. That causes a problem. That causes a problem with our thinking. That causes a problem with our moods. That causes a problem with our emotions. That just causes a big problem. But God, I am thy God. He's relevant to our situation. Goes on in verse 3. Again, this is in light of I am. I am the Holy One. It means a couple of things. When something was holy, it was set apart from everything else. It was above everything else. God is holy in that regard. In other words, God has no equal. He is above all. When we think of the word holy, we think we have a tendency to think more along the lines of purity and perfection. And certainly that is true. And that is a part of holiness. God is pure. God is perfect. So I am the Lord. I am thy God. I am the Holy One. Also notice in verse 3, I am thy Savior. Thy rescuer. The one who spared thee. I am thy Savior. Then notice in verse 10. Notice in verse 10. Again, these are some statements concerning God. He says in verse 10, I am he. I am. Just remember, this is all centered around I am, past, present, future, without change. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. What's he telling us? He's saying, I'm everything. That's true in the past, that's true in the present, that's true in the future. I am everything. I am everything that you need. I am everything. I have everything that you need. Now, if we know that, why do we spend so much time running to and fro to find answers? Running to and fro for what we think we need. He has what you need. Draw close to him. Verse 11. I, even I am. There it is again. I am. I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. And beside me, there is no. Or beside me, there is none other. In other words, he has no equal. Which is another way of saying God excels everything. And remember, that is in the tense of I am. Past, present, and future. God excels everything. He excels all your difficult places. He excels all your problems. God excels. God goes beyond everything. And then notice verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. There it is again. I am. Before the day was, I am. That speaks of the eternity of God. God is eternal. And notice again, centering around I am, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. That's power. That is the omnipotence of God. What that states is God is able. No matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, God excels all and God is able. He is able. Then notice also verse 13. I will work, and who shall let it or who shall restrain it? That means he's sovereign. He does whatever he pleases. He does upon whomever he pleases. He does with whomever he pleases. He's God. He's sovereign. Verse 15. Realizing this is not part of our text, but we want to notice something here. Again, it says, I am. He repeats, I am the Lord. I am your Holy One, Creator of Israel, your King. I am King. That means he has a throne. That means we are his subjects. It means he is in control. I am King. Also notice in verse 16, in verse 19. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Verse 19, the second part of that verse says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He is a God who knows the way. And he is a God who makes a way that's past, present, and future. Now concern all of these things, keep in mind all of these things concerning God. In verse 2, he says, I will be with thee. Wherever God is, he's whatever he is. And we've already seen what he is. So this God that we have read about, he's a present God. I will be with thee. Verse 5, he says, fear not, for I am. I am continually with thee. There's never been a time when God wasn't with me. Now there have been many times that I didn't feel his presence. But there's never been a time when God was not with me. So we have all these facts about God. We see that he is a present God. He is a relevant God. And he is our comforter. Verse 1 and verse 5 again, twice. He says, fear not. Those are comforting words. Fear not. Don't worry. I've got it all in control. Fear not, for I, wherever you are, it has no bearing upon those two words, for I. It has no bearing upon God. It has no bearing upon the being of God. It does not change God. So fear not. Then so we have some facts concerning God. Notice some facts concerning ourselves. Again, back in verse 1, we see that we were created, we were formed. What does that mean? Does that not mean that I am his workmanship? I am the workmanship of God. Again, that speaks of God's control. That speaks of God's authority. It speaks of God's wisdom. I am the workmanship of God. It also speaks of the care of God. We notice also in verse 1, we are the redeemed. He says, I have redeemed thee. We've been bought. We've been delivered. We see also that we are called. And we are called with a purpose. And we see also that we belong to Him. Thou art mine. Nothing changes that. I belong to God. Verse 4, we see some other facts concerning ourselves. I am precious in His sight. That means I'm of value to God. Now realize the Bible says that without Him we can do nothing. But we are of value to God. Not because of anything about us. We are of value to God. God sees value in us. Now, if something is of value, you don't just throw it around carelessly. You treat it with care. God doesn't just throw your life around carelessly. You are precious in His sight. We are value. He also goes on to say that we are honorable. That is, I'm favored by God. I have been shown favor by God. And may I say that is true of every human being. They have been shown some favor of God. If God allows you to take a breath, that is the favor of God. You and I that are saved, of course, that favor is more than you and I will ever realize. But I am precious in His sight. And I am favorable. I have been favored by God. It also states in verse 4 that He loves me. I have loved thee. Past, present, future. Nothing changes that. God cannot love me any more than He does now. He cannot love me any less. He loves me. It also states in the end of verse 4, He said, I give men for thee and people for thy life, which tells me that He cares for us, He provides for us. He watches over us. So we are His workmanship. We are the redeemed. We are the called. We belong to Him. We are precious in His sight. We have been honored by God. And we are loved by God. Then notice verse 10. A little ways down there it says, My servant, whom I have chosen. The last two words of verse 20 refer to the same fact, my chosen. I am chosen by God. Well, that word chosen doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, I'm interested. What does it mean? Chosen means chosen. When you choose something, you pick it out. I am picked out by God. When you choose something, it means you make a selection. I have been selected by God. Nothing changes that. And I am precious in His sight. But notice here in verse 10, chosen, that ye may know and believe me. I am chosen. Therefore, I can know God. And I can believe God. I've been chosen to know Him and to believe Him. And notice what it says. And understand Understand what? I am He. Understand who He is. We have been chosen. The world doesn't know God. The world doesn't believe God. The world doesn't understand. But you and I that are saved, we've been chosen that we might know, that we might believe, and that we might understand. I am He. Oh, to know I am He, or I am. To believe I am. To understand I am. That changes everything. So we see that there are some difficult places in verse 2. We see some facts concerning God, and we see God in verse 2. We see some facts concerning ourselves, and we see ourselves in verse 2 with thou and thee. So now we want to go back and we want to view the difficult places in light of these facts. You see, many times we view things in the wrong light. We need to view things in the first of all in light of who He is. That changes everything. In light of what He's done, in light of what He has promised to do. We need to view things in light of what God has made us. Because the truth is, these difficult places have no bearing upon who God is. And they have no bearing upon what God has made us. Now, who God is and what God has made us has bearing upon the difficult places. But the difficult places have no bearing. They do not change these facts. No matter how deep the waters, no matter how rapid the rivers, no matter how large the fire, and no matter how hot the flame, it does not change the fact that I am God's workmanship. Nothing changes that. Nothing. It does not change the fact that I am redeemed. It does not change the fact that I have been called by God, that I belong to God, that I am precious in His sight, that I have been favored by God, that I am loved by God, and yes, that I am chosen by God. No matter how extreme the difficult places might be, it has no bearing upon the fact of what I am by the grace of God. Therefore, fear not. Be courageous in the difficult places. It also has no bearing upon who God is. No matter when the waters come, no matter when the rivers come, no matter when the fires come, no matter when the flames come, does not change God. How many times we find ourselves saying when a trial comes in our life, oh, why now? As if you would have picked the trial at another time. It's always a bad time. In our minds, it's always a bad time for the waters. It's always a bad time for the rivers. It's always a bad time for the fire. It's always a bad time for the flame. When was the last time you got up and you prayed, Lord, this is a great time. Just send me some waters. Send me some rivers. Send all the fire. Send all the flame. This would be a good time for that to happen. It's never a good time in our minds. So whenever they come, and it's never a good time, it's never the opportune time in our minds. It always is in God's mind. But whenever they come, God is who He is. Nothing changes what we've noticed here about God. No matter where I am, when the waters come, no matter where I am when the rivers come, no matter where I am when the fires come and the flames come, and may I say, they can come wherever you are. There is no safe haven. There is no place that prevents the waters from coming. There is no place that is river proof. There is no place that is fireproof or flame proof. There is no such place. They can come at any time. They can come at any place. And no matter how they come. I mean, you think about Job. And the waters, the rivers, the fire, and the flame all came at once. No matter how they come, doesn't change God. Doesn't change who God is. Doesn't change what God has made us. Then notice the presence of God again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The waters, the rivers, the fire, and the flame can be very, very present. We can be surrounded by them. But there is nothing more present than God. You look at those words in verse 2. I will be with thee. He mentions waters, he mentions rivers, he mentions fire, he mentions flame. For all of those, I have the Lord. I will be with thee. That's true no matter what the difficult place is. Whatever the difficult place is, I have the Lord. Notice also, we've got to hurry. Lost track of time. Difficult places. Do not stop the child of God. When thou passest through, when thou walkest through, think about that word through. That means you move in one side and out the other. You're not stuck there. We're not to get stuck in the waters. We're not to get stuck in the rivers. We're not to get stuck in the fire. We're not to get stuck in the flame. We're not to wander in endless circles in the waters and in the rivers and the fire and the flame. We're to pass through. We're to walk through. In one way or the other, we will. We will come through the waters and the rivers, the fire and the flame. Lastly, what is our responsibility in these difficult places? We have God. He's with us. So does that mean that there's nothing for you and I to do? Verse 7 says, I have created him for my glory. That is, in all these difficult places, we're to praise Him, we're to worship Him, we're to reverence Him, we're to honor Him. It is for His glory. Verse 10 and verse 12, it says we are His witnesses. That is, we are to testify and confirm who God is. It says there that In verse 12, that ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Ye are my witnesses that I am God. No matter what the difficult place, that's our responsibility. We're to bear witness of who He is. And then we see that we are, in verse 10 also, that we are his servant. It's because you're in a difficult place, that doesn't mean you have leave of absence. You are his servant. You are to serve him in the difficult places. So all of this, put it all together, and it ought to have a great impact upon our lives. It ought to inspire us. It ought to motivate us. It ought to strengthen us. As we go on in our journey, we have no idea what that journey might involve. I promise you there will be some difficult places. But just keep in mind, try to view the difficult places in light of who he is. In light of what he has done. In light of what he is yet to do. And the difficult places, they look different. They began to take on a different appearance. Keep in mind who we are, what God has made us by his grace. The difficult places don't change that. So we need to gather our facts about God. Gather all the facts you can gather about God and hold on to them. And everything just looks different. Now that everything feels different. You know why? Because everything is different. We need to learn to see things through the lens of who he is. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.